Good evening. I am here to explain who we are and what we are doing. If this were a show, I'd be a master of ceremonies. If this were a play, I'd be a narrator. But it's neither. What is it then, you ask? Call it what you will, or don't call it anything. But do listen as we share our gifts and explore eternal truths.
I have a new song to sing, and it's like bright new wings floating through God's sweet air, filling folks everywhere. Of a new life to live, of a new love to give, that comes from God's great throne, making us all His own.
I have a new song to sing, and it's my pride to
with us to another time and place, the pioneer days of America. But don't expect to meet Wyatt Earp or Lily Langtry or Jesse James. No, in this period we have put John, Martha, Lazarus, a sinful woman, a leper, and the one thing they all have in common, a transforming experience with Jesus of Nazareth. Not only did their meeting with him give them a place in history, but the results of that meeting removed them from time and gave them an eternal vantage point. With their stories adapted to another period, perhaps we may see anew how their lives were affected by Jesus as he gave them bright new wings.
My name is John, and ever since I can remember, my brother and me were thought of by the town as those troublemakers. We always seemed to be in the middle of it. We could outride and outshoot anybody, and if you didn't believe us, we'd surely try to prove it to you. Somewhere along the line, folks started calling us the Sons of Thunder. I guess the truth be known, that's what we were. Sons of Thunder. Just a bunch of hot air and noise. Not much use to anybody. One time, because I was bored and had nothing better to do, I did a senseless thing. There were some butterflies flitting around a bunch of wildflowers, and I thought they made a great target, so I started shooting. Those butterflies would explode into midair, never knowing what hit them. Pieces of their torn wings fluttered to the ground. When I shot the last bullet and the ringing stopped in my ears, my soul began to ache. A few days later, Pawn, James, and me were working when a man walked up to us and said, "Come, follow me." I did. I gave no thought to finishing the job we were doing. I just put down my tools and followed. Somehow I knew that this man was the only way I could stop the hurting in my soul. Oh, friends, the things I saw and heard would take me until forever to tell you. I began to see what a true man was. I'd had it all wrong. It took more strength than me and James put together to be the kind of man Jesus was. Sometimes he'd call us the sons of thunder to tease us, but I didn't mind. That name was an honor after he came into our lives. We were not just noise and hot air. We had power behind us. Let me tell you about that power. One day I was sitting down by the water's edge, just being alone, when I saw a butterfly. My mind flashed back to the time I had shot all those other butterflies, and I heard again what Jesus told Nicodemus one night as they were talking. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." God so loved the world. That certainly included me and all mankind. But as I sat there looking at that butterfly, I understood that the butterfly was also a part of the world. God so loved the world. And I did too. I know it sounds hard to believe, but I slowly held out my finger, and you know what? That butterfly came and lit on my finger. I hardly breathed as I gently lifted my hand higher, putting the little creature even with my eyes. For a long moment, we stared at each other. Finally, as I watched him fly off, I thought how much alike we are, both free and alive, after spending dark hours in a chrysalis. I had found my power. Jesus had freed me in a wonderful and mysterious way.
How can I understand the despair?
God's only Son.
butterfly, noun. 1. Any of a group of lepidopterous insects characterized by clubbed antennae, large, broad wings, often conspicuously colored and marked. 2. A person who flits aimlessly from one thing to another.
My mother taught me. She said, Martha, there's a place for everything and everything in its place. I learned at an early age the virtue of clean linens and a spotless floor. Well, many's the time I've had people say that my floor was so clean you could eat off it. And not just to my face either. I've overheard that remark at the store when I was getting supplies. And I am fully aware that it was not meant as a compliment. They were poking fun at me, but I couldn't bother with them because I had work to do.
I've been having to dust a little, having to sweep a lot. I've been having to wash the dishes, having to scrub the pots.
Going after our parents died. Lazarus was always sickly, and Mary lived in her own world. She was the thinker, always asking questions like, where did God come from? Or, how long is now before it becomes then? I tell you, she could drive you crazy with all her questions. And the very day Jesus was coming to visit us, she was in high form. I couldn't get a thing done for her under my feet, wondering and asking why, what, and where. Finally, I just said, get out. Get out of this kitchen, Mary, and go sit out there with the men. She didn't require a second invitation. Like a flash, she was gone, and I began to bustle. About 10 minutes later, when I saw that she hadn't put the meat in the oven like I asked her to, I blew up. My hair was a mess, and I had flour up to my elbows, but I didn't care. I marched out to the porch, and there was Jesus and the men and Mary sitting at his feet. He smiled up at me, took all the sting out of my anger, and said, "Stay with us, Martha, and listen. I have some bread for you." And you know, he saw through all my rushing around, trying to run everything. He saw me as I really was. He saw all the questions in my eyes, and he answered them by loving me as I am. Now, I'm just as busy as ever, but for another reason. It's my way of serving him and thanking him. He gave me a new song.
Now I have a new song.
Cocoon, noun, the silky envelope spun by the larvae of many insects, serving as a covering while they are in the chrysalis or pupal state.
I kept my illness from my friends and family for as long as I could. I kept thinking, I'll soon feel better, this will pass. But as the days progressed, the symptoms I tried to hide became more apparent. It was Mary who shyly said to me one afternoon, "Lazarus, I think we should call the master to come help us." I went to bed early that evening, and Mary sent a servant to tell Jesus of our need. The next day, I couldn't get up. For the first time, I was engulfed in sadness, not so much for my death, because I had heard Jesus speak of the resurrection, but for my family. I love my sisters, and I love the land. The fig trees we used to climb as children, the herb garden mother planted, the morning dew on the grapevines, the smell of Martha's bread baking, the sun, light and night, living, living. It was sad to stop living. The sadness increased to despair, and in 2 days I began to get cold, so cold, and nothing would warm me. I remember whispering to my sister, "If I could just see Jesus." Then the sadness, coldness, and darkness engulfed me. Time stopped for me then. I died. The sun could rise and set a million times, and it did not matter to me. All the things I had wanted to do would now remain undone, eternally.
With no one
I was but asleep when I heard my name called. Lazarus. Lazarus. Come forth. What power or force moved me, I could not tell. But I felt myself rising. I felt the warmth of sun, as though someone had opened a door to the morning. I heard the voice of my friend say, "Take away the clothes that bind him." The first thing I saw was the face of my friend Jesus, and I knew I would never be alone again. Now I can laugh with the sun and sing
of a new life.
I repeat, the butterfly is often conspicuously colored and marked.
Me they jeered at. I've known the heat of vicious eyes burning hate into the back of my neck. I was the wicked woman who ran a tavern. All the things they said about me were true, and then some. But still, I had feelings. Oh, I pretended it didn't hurt, sticks and stones and all that, you know. Once I even tried going to church, but one of the fine sisters got up and moved when I sat down beside her. It got so I ventured out less and less during daylight. Like some creature of the night, I only breathed cool evening air in the dark alley behind my place of business. If business forced me to be on the public thoroughfare, I'd protect myself behind an extra layer of rouge or a bright new taffeta slip that would swoosh when I sashayed so proudly under my silk parasol. It was a flimsy defense, no defense at all, you might say, against the insults hurled at me. I might have gone to my grave gussied up like a painted buffalo if I hadn't met Jesus. Now, I didn't meet him at church, like you might think. Some of the town's leading citizens were having a party, and who should show up but him? He was a regular sort. He'd laugh, have a glass of sarsaparilla, but he'd cut the small talk. And when one of the fine gentlemen made an insinuating remark about me and everybody laughed, he didn't. Oh, he smiled. But it wasn't cruel or mocking. It was sort of like he would smile at his sister if she'd just gotten back from a long trip. I could have died from shame as their laughing continued to fall on me like hundreds of stones. I wanted to run from the room, but there was no way I could. So I took refuge in his smile. And he looked round at the people and he said, "I'd like to see which one of you, be he banker, sheriff, or what have you, is without sin." Well, the laughter died away. If there is one good man, holy, without sin, he can condemn this woman. Everything was deathly quiet. I couldn't even look up. My face was so flushed, my eyes were stinging. He said to me, "No man condemns you, and neither do I. Go and sin no more." And he smiled. And I smiled and turned and walked out of that room with my head held high because I was a clean woman. And my taffeta petticoat didn't sound like vicious whispers circulating around my red skirt. It sounded like angels' wings as I walked into newness of life.
No man can.
Is it not the desire to escape the confines of a stifling existence that causes the butterfly to struggle to get out of the cocoon? Does not the struggle itself help the creature to build up strength, to spread its wings, to fly to regions that were only dim dreams in the humble caterpillar's head?
I tried to ignore the white patches that began to appear on my skin. But eventually I had to face the truth. I was a leper, unclean, impure. My family wanted to keep me in the house away from the prying eyes of the neighbors until the end, but I feared contaminating them, so I left to join roving bands of decaying men and women that huddled together for support and fleeting moments of human contact. How can one explain the horror of watching one's body waste away? But that is almost bearable compared to the feeling one had when people had turned their faces in revulsion. Those of us who still had lips would call out, "Unclean! Unclean!" as we walked along the wayside. Some of us wore bells on our clothing to warn people of our approach. Time and again, we heard stories of this man of God who's going about the countryside healing sick people. And each time, the stories have become harder to believe. Crooked limbs straightened, blind eyes open, and hardest of all to believe, the dead brought to life. Not that I dreamed that I would be healed, but I'd yearned for death so long that even this slight hope of being well again gave me courage to search out this man. So, off we started, all 10 of us, to find him. As we walked along that dusty road, we noticed the crowd was getting thicker. We figured that Jesus must be up ahead. There was no way that we were going to get his attention, even if we called to him. And then I had an idea. I got all 10 of us in a bunch. And then I let out one little low, "Unclean!" That crowd parted like the Red Sea. We walked right up to Jesus. He looked at us, he laughed and said, "Go and show yourself to the priest." And off we went. And in that moment, my pain left, and I was whole. I turned and I ran to thank him. I fell on my face at his feet, and he said, "Were the not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? I didn't know what to say, because I couldn't think of anything but home and my family. And then he said to me, a Samaritan, "Arise and go your way. Your faith has made you whole." To be changed from a caterpillar into a butterfly is amazing, but no more so than being changed from a leper into a child of God. What else can I say except thank you?
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Now you have heard these stories, how each person was transformed by the living Christ into a new creature. You see, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the price we pay for sinning is death. But there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Behold, all things are made new. Are you tired of being a crawling creature? Would you like to be transformed from a caterpillar into a butterfly? If you will let him, he can change you right now, and you too can have bright, new wings.
I have a new song.
Thank you for giving me new life today.
Thank you for loving me in spite of my sin. I've opened my heart, Jesus. Won't you come in?
God loved the world so much that he gave us his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Father, we come to you, our hearts full of gratitude and love. Thank you for loving us, even when we were broken creatures scurrying around in empty circles searching for meaning. Thank you for making us new. Thank you for the noble meaning you bring to our lives. As we see daily evidences of people who have been transformed by your power, we rejoice in the fact that we can be born again. Father, after we are born again and are babes in Christ, help us to grow so we can be more like your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray.